What is up, everybody? We are back with Unsolved and Uncovered. Sorry, we've had a few audio issues the last couple of weeks, but we have ironed those out and we are back. We will start with a little more regular with this. Today on the show, we're going to talk really just kind of everything going on right now. A lot of stuff happening, compared to most seasons when you're in week four. But today on the show, we're going to talk about the two firings that we've had already. Kind of what that means going forward for those programs. Going to talk about the early season struggles we're seeing out of Arch Manning. May touch a little bit on DJ Lagway. I kind of want to save a bit of that later. Then we'll get into their games of the week and our week four picks. But starting off, like I said, we're talking about these two firings that we've had. Brent Key fired at Virginia Tech, Deshaun Foster fired at UCLA. I think you can spread this in two, I guess, different factions or points of view, maybe even points of discussion or how you want to look at this. Was it the right decision? Yes, unequivocally, that was the right decision. They were not getting it done where they were, and Deshaun Foster looked in over his head immediately. So he was not going to get any better. The Key situation is a little weirder. I don't really know what happened there. They did not look bad against South Carolina a little bit. Kyron Drones had a bad game, but that does happen. And they look good for a half against Vandy. It's just like they never came out of halftime. The bigger question is, though, why now? Why 3 weeks into the season? Why, when half your team now can transfer? They can redshirt still. And I'm not saying firing game five just so you can lock your players in, but I mean, why do you make this decision now if you're at Virginia Tech or if you're at UCLA? And I don't know that there's a right answer. I mean, unless you just said, well, we're gonna do it now to get fan buy-in or something. I believe that if it's Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's got a fan base. They pack a lot of people into that stadium. UCLA, on the other hand, why? Why would you do that? There's no benefit. Literally, just let him coach the season out, then fire him. You can't hire somebody in October. I mean, you can't. Now, I could say the same thing for Virginia Tech. Who are you going to hire on September the 19th? Nobody. You're not hiring anybody. I don't get this, the timing. I get why you do it, but I don't get the timing. And I don't know that I ever will get that because, you got this NIL piece now, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense why you fire a coach in the middle of the season. You're not saving the season. You're not. I've seen this a lot. Which job is more attractive? I don't know that there's a right answer. I mean, I think there's obvious benefits at both places, but there's definitely, drawbacks or cons at both places as well. I think you look at Virginia Tech, obviously, I think in an easier conference. They don't have to play Oregon. They don't have to play Penn State. They don't have to play Michigan. They don't have to play Ohio State. They got to play Clemson and Miami and kind of SMU. So if you look at that point of view, okay, Virginia Tech, it's no doubt. But then you hear Virginia Tech's AD earlier this year say his team's $80 million. Or his athletic department's $80 million short of where every other athletic department's conference is. And that makes you have pause. Like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's not the better job. But then you look at UCLA and Chip Kelly basically saying he has no support there when he left to go to the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. He left a sitting head coach job at a Power Four school to go be an offensive coordinator within the same conference. Worked out. He won a national championship, but it's neither here nor there. I mean, I don't know that there's I think it's one of the beauties in the eye of the beholder type things. I don't know that there's a just far and away correct answer. I think if you look at the talent, you can't really take that into effect anymore with NIL and the transfer portal and all this. Because I mean, if you're a candidate trying to take the USC, the UCLA job, I don't think Nico's staying around. And that's really the only piece there that you could build around. And I'll be honest, I don't really think he's all that good. Anyways, I think he was more a product of the system that he was in at Tennessee. But I mean, if you're Virginia Tech, like Kyren Drones, I don't think he's anything to write home about. I don't think he stays either, by the way. So, I mean, you're starting from a blank slate either way. So I think if you're a coach, I mean, I almost think you have to hire a sitting head coach because you got to have somebody that can bring players. So if you're a coach, say Bob Chesney at JMU, do you think you can convince Alonzo Barnett to come with you to Virginia Tech? If that's the case, I think, yeah, okay, maybe I can take that job. Or if you're, you know, whoever it may be on the West Coast who would want that UCLA job. I don't know any. I mean, I think that'd be the question. Bob Chesney, does he want that job or does he want, you know, the Virginia Tech job? I mean, I think of a coach like that who has a quarterback who's there. Obviously, JMU doing the stuff with Slucka as well, but you know, I don't really know because at this point, it is like you kind of gotta have a guy. And neither of those teams are going to have a guy. Now, I mean, if you're Virginia Tech or UCLA, either one, tries to go get Alex Golesh. Well, Alex Golesh can't bring Byron Brown with him, but you got to think he's got somebody, or he's going to have somebody that he's looking at the portal. So I think that's another piece. If it's a coach that has a connection to somebody in the portal, I think the interesting name with both these jobs is Dan Mullen. Dan's 3-0 at UNLV. He beat UCLA. He would wax Virginia Tech, by the way. That's neither here nor there, but I think that's the interesting name. What can he do? Would he have interest? And my guess on Dan, judging by, you know, everything he does, is he'd be more interested in that Virginia Tech job. It is a power conference job. It's a lot easier path to playoffs. He doesn't have to recruit against every school in the West Coast. That would probably be the job he would be more interested in. I think another name for that, for either of those jobs, you'd probably look at is a guy like Ryan Silverfield at Memphis. Is he ready to take that jump? Obviously, I think Virginia Tech's probably going to have a little bit of buyer or will be a little gun shy taking another Memphis coach after Fuente kind of flamed out. Also, I think for Virginia Tech, sitting there thinking, Justin Fuente maybe wasn't all that bad. And a little bit of buyer's remorse on Grant too. But I think those two names would be interesting names to look at. Obviously, I mentioned Bob Chesney. The name that's getting a lot of pub, I think it's at UCLA, is Tony White, the defense coordinator at Florida State. But again, I don't know if I would necessarily go that route if I'm in UCLA. You just went the defense coordinator route, and it didn't work. And you got gifted a quarterback, and it still didn't work. Like I've seen DeAnton Lynn, who's at USC, his name thrown around. You know, you may could work that because he's got those Southern California recruiting ties, but I don't know. These two jobs are going to be really interesting because, yeah, they're first, but I don't really know what being first basically guarantees you at this point because I don't really think it's all that much. I mean, it looks like Florida is going to open. Florida's head and shoulders above either of those jobs. Know, there's a couple other jobs out there. I think Arkansas, there's a chance it comes over. Well, there's a couple other jobs out there that you can mention. And then, you know, let's say a Alex Golesh leaves South Florida for, say, a Virginia Tech. Let's just throw that out there. Well, South Florida becomes open, and that's probably a more attractive job than UCLA. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see how all this works out, because I don't know the benefit that those jobs have of being first that others don't. Because trust me, every AD in this country has a list of names in his back pocket of who he would be interested in if the job came open. And one final thought on this, and I'll go ahead and touch on it and we'll move on. Shane Beamer's not taking that job. He's not. I don't think South Carolina fans would exactly riot in the streets if he did, because I don't think he's just an elite coach, but he's not taking it. He's not turning down whatever South Carolina's paying, which is vastly more than Virginia Tech could pay to go back home. He's not taking that home. But moving on, it's been a pretty widely talked about topic now for the first 3 weeks of the season, and it will be for the remaining of the season, is Arch Manning. We talked about him, and we'll continue to talk about him. But I think one thing you look at is everybody's talking about, is he overrated? What's wrong? What's happening here? Could Sark not teach this kid? I don't really believe I don't think it's anything. I think it's this. This kid is a first-time, full-time starter. I know he spot started last year. Full-time starter for a for the number one ranked preseason team in the country. Number one. Their first game was at Ohio State. It's a lot of pressure to put on a kid who's never been a full-time starter. And you're expecting him to be Peyton. You're expecting him to be Eli. You're expecting him to be Arch. He's not any of that. And he's not going to be as a redshirt sophomore. He's not. Peyton wasn't that as a redshirt. Well, Peyton didn't redshirt, but Peyton wasn't that as a sophomore. Eli wasn't that as a redshirt sophomore. Archie wasn't that. So I don't know why we're holding this kid to this standard that he's got to be what they were as seniors. He's got to be that as a redshirt sophomore, first full-time starting job. He's not going to be. He's not overrated, though. I will say that. I've seen a lot of people say, well, he's overrated. He was only rated this high because he was a Manning. He played against all these crappy teams in high school. All that may be true, but he's not overrated. This kid can spin it. He is a good quarterback. But we've got to get off this the minute they don't throw for six touchdowns and 450 yards every week that they're bad or they're overrated. I mean, this is, I understand kids are being paid now so we can hold them to these apparently different standards than we were holding Dak Prescott to or Joe Burrow to. Nobody complained when Joe Burrow, who, by the way, had the best statistical season in college football history in 2019, nobody complained when he was struggling in 2018. You didn't hear it. Now you can say that's because, oh, well, he wasn't heralded like Arch. So what? He was a four or five star recruit. I think he was a four star, but like it wasn't like the kid couldn't play. And you look at Joe Burrow's 2018 and Arch Manning's 2025, it's really, really similar to start the year. I think Arch gets better. I do. I think one thing that Sark needs to start doing early in the game is he's got to be able to get this kid better. You watch their games and it's run for here, run for here. Then they'll try 30-yard downfield pass. Like, give him a 4-yard pass. Give him a speed out. Give him a quick hitch. Give him something. You know, don't let's stop trying to test defenses and have him fit, you know, rail shots in there against cover two. Like, why are we doing that? Why are you doing that to a kid who's never started full time and spot start stuff? But I'm not playing that. So I would look for that as these weeks go on. And, you know, Texas obviously by gaining this week against Sam Houston State. So obviously not going to be tested all that much in that one. Although, I mean, they were a little bit tested on Saturday by UTEP, more because they were playing bad over the other way around. But it'll ramp up. We'll go to Florida next week. You go to Florida. And a Florida team that could be desperate absolutely desperate. Then you have the Red River Robbery. Then you go to Kentucky. Then you go to Mississippi State. Like, this thing's about to get real for Texas. I wouldn't be worried if I was a Texas fan, but I see where the worry comes from, because if you can't get it right soon, it could get bad soon. Because look, Florida may not have an offense, but they got a defense, and they will force you to make bad throws. They'll force you to into uncomfortable situations. Oklahoma and Brent Venables are going to be ready for Arch. They're going to know what to do. So, obviously, you don't have to worry, but I'm telling you, it could get dicey if Sark continues down this road of just trying to force him to play great and not just let him get into a rhythm. But, final thought on that, would I be worried if I was a Texas fan then? I think Arch is going to be just fine. He's going to be the quarterback you want him to be. I would have no word. I just wouldn't. So as we pivot along here, we're going to go into the games of the week. Not a really great slate this week, to be honest. Next week's kind of when everything just kicks off in earnest. But do have a few games. Starting with a game in Norman, the Jackson Arnold return game. Auburn, Oklahoma. Auburn off to a 3-0 start. Oklahoma off to a 3-0 start. I think albeit much more impressive. I mean, Auburn has looked impressive, but Baylor has shown they can't stop anybody. So I think it probably devalues what Auburn did in that game a little more than, say, what Oklahoma did against Michigan. Although Auburn went on the road, Michigan came to Oklahoma, but this game's interesting. Because, if you're Oklahoma, you're looking at this, okay, well, we're already, 3-0. We get this one and we move to 4-0. And, this thing kind of starts rolling. You get Kent State after that. So you're going to be 5-0. Then you get Texas. Then you get South Carolina. Then you get Ole Miss. So, you start the train rolling here. You got a shot at this thing. I think if you're Oklahoma, you're looking at this game and saying, hey, look, we get this one. We kind of can say to this to the SEC, hey, we've arrived. We're here. I think it's a big game for them. I think it really is a season-defining game for them because of where I think their goals are right now. Because I think their goals have shifted. I really do. I believe that they probably came into the season thinking, hey, we get to 8-4, 9-3. We're showing some upward mobility here. But now I think you probably ask OU fans, they're thinking playoffs. They're thinking they got the quarterback that's next in the line. You go from Baker to Kyler to Caleb, not to Baker, but Kyler to Jalen to Caleb or Mayer, somewhere in there. Baker, Kyler, Jalen, Caleb Williams, and now you've got John Mattingly. They're kind of looking at him as, hey, he's in that line. He's going to bring us that kind of glory. He's going to put us in those positions. So do I think that he is that good? I don't know. Because I want to see what DJ Durkin does this week to him. I don't think Auburn has all that great of a defense. Sauli Robertson threw for half a thousand on him, but they just outscored Baylor. I think the key to the game for Auburn is they are going to have to establish a play. Because if they can and this turns into a track meet where they got to throw a bunch, they're done. Because you can say a bunch about Jackson Arnold. He has looked better and more comfortable in this Hugh Freeze offense than he did in whatever they were trying to do last year under Seth Luttrell. But look, at the end of the day, he is what he is as a quarterback. And he's not going to be able to just throw. Like, he's not going to be able to do that. He can't sit there and get into some sort of track. He's not going to be able to do it. And look, that's not a knock on him either. I don't believe that's a knock on Jacksonville. I think it's just stating the obvious that, look, he is not going to be the guy that's going to be able to throw 450 yards. Jon Mattier can do that. Jackson Arnold cannot. So I think it's imperative early on to establish the run, be able to run the ball if you're Auburn, because if you're Auburn, you've got to get this one. You've got to get this one. If you look at who they got coming up, at A&M, Georgia at home, Missouri at home, at Arkansas. That's terrifying if you're Auburn. But if you get by this one on the road in a hostile environment, Norman, you go into A&M next week, you think, hey, we've done this. We've been in this type of environment and we won. So it's important for OU, don't get me wrong. I think it's even more important for Auburn because of what they have coming up, especially next week. If OU loses, they can still get right next week against Kent State. Auburn loses, they then got to lick their wounds and get ready to go to College Station. So I think it's much more imperative for Auburn to get this win than Oklahoma, although I think it's an important game. Moving on to the next game, because I'll get with my pick on that one later when we do our picks, but I think I might have tipped my pick, but I'll get to it later. The next game, Indiana, Illinois. I mean, this is Bielema's time. It is that this is Brent Bielema's time. You know, we keep talking about how the Big Ten is. It's Ohio State, it's Oregon, and it's just kind of everybody else. Well, Illinois has a chance to put their name up there with those two. Indiana was that team last year. It's Illinois' chance this year. You know, you look at this thing they got. They're at Illinois or at Indiana, and then they get USC next week. And then it's Purdue at Purdue, that's a dub. Then it's Ohio State at home, which would be the biggest, if Illinois can do what they need to do, could be a top five, top six matchup, be the biggest game in Champaign ever. Then they go to Washington, then Rutgers and Maryland come to town, and they go to Wisconsin, then they get Northwestern. They don't have to play Oregon. They don't have to play Penn State. Sorry, I should have added Penn State in that. So Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, kind of that hierarchy right now in the Big Ten. They don't have to play Oregon. They don't have to play Penn State. They don't have to play Michigan. They don't have to play whoever it may be, and they get Ohio State at home. This is their chance. This is their quote unquote tough road game. Can they do it? I don't know the answer to that. But I believe they have the quarterback to be able to do it. Look, you look at what Luke Altmyer has done in that system. It's very impressive. He turned down a lot of money to stay at Illinois for this moment. You know, you can debate whether he made the right decision or not. I don't know. I don't think the kid has a whole lot of throw potential, but regardless, I think he's a good college quarterback. On the other hand, you have Indiana. You have Kurt Cignetti. You have the brash bravado of Kurt Cignetti. And basically has said, you know, hey, we're going to play our schedule. You can do whatever you want, and you can say we don't deserve it and all this, but we're going to play our schedule. Their schedule is a lot tougher this year. It is, but it's one of those things. Cignetti tends to back up what he says. So it's hard to pick against him, especially at home, especially at night, especially when that stadium is going to be rocking. You know, you look at their schedule going forward. It's a lot harder. It's at Iowa, then it's at Oregon. Then in November, they go to Penn State. Like that's, I mean, you start looking at their schedule and it's like, well, if they want to get back to where they were, they're going to have to win this. I really like what Fernando Mendoza is doing for them. You know, I think that was a great pickup, an underrated pickup even in the transfer portal. They've obviously waxed who they've played, you know, struggled a little bit with Old Dominion, but saw what Old Dominion did to Tech, and maybe the struggle wasn't all that, you know, concerning. They then beat Kennesaw 56-9, Indiana State 73-9. So, you know, the competition's stepping up. And Illinois already has a good one. They beat Duke. They went to Duke and beat Duke. And you can say, well, Duke's not all that great. Well, that's debatable. I mean, Duke has looked okay in my opinion. You know, but they waxed Duke. They didn't just beat them, they waxed them. I don't really have a great feel on this game. I haven't watched both teams real closely, but I think it's a game. I think it's a game that is going to have a very, very big outcome in terms of the Big Ten. Because I like I said, I think if Illinois wins it, I think they have an inside track to get to the Big Ten championship. I do. Our last game of the week, man, I feel sorry for Billy Napier. Man, I feel sorry for Billy Napier. If I'm Billy Napier, I mean, I'm looking at Scott Strickland like, what did you do? Why? Why did you do this to me? You know, you give me non-conference games this year against Long Island, thanks. South Florida, who granted struggled last week against this Miami team, but looks really good. Miami and Florida State. It's like, what are you doing? You're giving me top 25 teams? I'd love to pick Florida because I think Florida defensively is going to give Miami some trouble. Look, this Florida team has played against Carson Beck. They have really, really kind of taken advantage of Carson Beck almost. I mean, he has not looked good in the game he played against. What did he throw? Three interceptions last year in that game, in the game against Florida? I think it was three. I mean, the only way Florida doesn't win that game is DJ Lagway gets hurt. Oddly enough, I think the only way they win this one is if DJ Lagway gets hurt the way he's playing. But I mean, oh gosh, man. I don't know that we've seen a quarterback regression quite like Lagway. I mean, we talk about Arch, and he was, and people saying he was overrated. Arch hadn't played. DJ Lagway had shown it. He beat Ole Miss last year. Ole Miss was a playoff team last year, basically. If they beat, not basically, if they beat Florida, they're in the playoffs. He played great. Had a lot of people thinking he might win the Heisman Trophy this year. If Florida got where they needed to get, DJ Lagway was going to be the big part of it. And unfortunately, they haven't gotten where they need to get, and he's been a huge part of that. He has not played well. He threw, what, five interceptions last week? I mean, he threw as many to his team as threw to LSU. And LSU's a good defense. Blake Baker does a lot of stuff with them that's unique and different. I mean, they gave Clemson all sorts of trouble, and they'll give any SEC team they play trouble. But five? He threw five. And it wasn't like it was contested where it was like tipped or something. You were throwing into double and triple coverage. You just weren't looking. I mean, I don't know. I'd love to pick Florida because I do think they're going to give DJ or Carson Beck a lot of problems. I do. I don't think he's going to be able to do what he did to Notre Dame and South Florida. But man, the other quarterback on the other sideline's the reason I don't pick Florida in this one. I don't know what Billy's going to do. Well, he's going to get fired, but I mean, if you're Billy, I just think you just try to shorten this game. I mean, just try to make it as short as possible. Run the ball a bunch. You run it with Lagway if you need to. And obviously, some of the Lagway stuff, he could be from that injury he has, but I don't think it caused him to throw five interceptions. And if it did, get him out of the ball game. Get him out. I'm taking Miami in this one just because what I've seen from Florida has just been awful. I don't know another way to say it. It's been awful. I would love to pick Billy in Florida. I think Billy's a good coach. I do. I don't think he is as bad a coach as he's looking. I don't think he teaches his team to be undisciplined like they've been. But unfortunately, right now, everything tells me Florida's going to get boat raced in this game. I don't think that happens, but everything tells you that they're going to get boat raced. I got Miami in this one. This isn't on the picks, but I've got Miami, or that part of it is on the picks. But again, I'd love to be wrong because I do think Billy's a good coach, and I think Florida's got the talent to be there. I don't think they're what they've shown. But right now, Miami looks really, really good, and so I'd pick Miami. Now it's time for my favorite part, our week four picks. And we will create a parlay out of this as well. Pick one. I watched them last week, and they may have the best offense in the country. Unfortunately, they may have the worst defense in the country. Arkansas at Memphis. I think this is a get-right game for Sam Pittman. I think Taylen Green's going to run wild. I think he's going to throw wild. They may give up 30, but I think they're going to score 50. That's why Arkansas -7.5. I think it's one of the easiest picks of the weekend. Next game, SMU TCU, right down the road from me here in Dallas. I think that game's actually being played in Fort Worth. There will be no defense in this game. None. Period. End of discussion. There will be no defense. SMU is going to score 30. TCU's going, or SMU's probably going to score 50. TCU's probably going to score 60. The over at 63.5, it's just, I mean, that makes too much sense. I do have TCU in this game, but if you told me SMU won 66 to 55, it would not shock me one bit. Or if you told me TCU won 64 to 38, it wouldn't shock me. I don't think SMU has the horses to blow somebody out. I think TCU does. We saw them doing it against North Carolina. Don't think North Carolina's a very good team, but that's not the point here. I don't know that SMU can just run away with it. I think TCU can run away with it, but I do think it's going to be a track meet early and often. Next game, we talked about it in our games of the week. Give me Hugh Freeze. Give me Hugh Freeze. Give me the corny pregame speeches. Give me Jackson Arnold not being able to throw a 12-yard route. Give it all to me. Auburn wins this +7.5. I think they went outright, but I got them +7.5. Next game, Tulane Ole Miss. I talked about watching Arkansas. I watched Ole Miss in that game too. I watched them not be able to defend a running quarterback. Guess what Tulane has? A running quarterback. And he can also throw. I don't know that Tulane can stop Ole Miss enough to win or anything like that. I have Ole Miss winning this game, but Tulane +12.5, that's the pick. Take that one to the bank. I think Tulane easily covers that. I think this is a touchdown to a 10-point game. Next game. This is the time for Matt Rhule. This is the time. This is the moment. Dylan Raiola can muster all his corny Patrick Mahomes stuff and do all that and look like an idiot, to be honest. But whatever, if you're winning, I think they win. Nebraska wins outright. They got them at +1.5, but they win this one outright. And I think this is going to cause some serious questions at Michigan into the future of Sherrone Moore. I don't think he's going to make it there. I just don't. I don't think he's a very good coach. I don't think he's a very good head coach. I think he's a fine position coach and even offensive coordinator if you're running the ball a bunch, but I don't think he's a head coach. I'm sorry. I don't. Give me the head coach. Give me the better head coach in this one. Because the better quarterback may very well be Bryce Underwood, but my God, he has no receivers. I could go play receiver for Michigan and be wide receiver three right now. My God, they don't have receivers. Good running game, incredible quarterback. They probably have the better quarterback. And I like Dylan Raiola. I think he's corny, but I like him. He throws a good ball. He's very athletic, but Bryce Underwood's different, man. But again, give me the better head coach and give me the points. Give me Nebraska. Baylor, Arizona State. This is an interesting game. I watched Arizona State in person. They're impressive running the ball. They run the ball like an SEC team. They do. They have a big offensive line. They're able to control it. I watched a little bit of their game last week against Texas State. They obviously were able to throw it a little bit. I think that their inability to throw will be what hinders them down the stretch. I think they're still a 7-8 team, don't get me wrong. I think they could even get 9. But Baylor right now, they look really good. I watched Arizona State struggle with the pass against Mississippi State and the deep ball. That's what Baylor does really well. Give me Baylor minus 2.5. That's, I mean, at home as well. Give me the better quarterback. In this case, give me the better quarterback. I think coaching's probably a little equal. I might even give a slight edge to Kenny Dillingham, but give me the better quarterback, and the better quarterback is Sawyer Robertson. Baylor minus 2.5. This is the game. If you don't know anything about football, you can bet this game and win. Mizzou minus 9.5 for South Carolina. They are going to beat the brakes off South Carolina. Beat the brakes off that overrated team. Let him have Lenore Sellers. That's fine. He doesn't have anybody to throw it to. He's got Brick Hands Harbor out there who can only catch a deep ball. He can't catch a slant. He can't catch a hitch. He can't catch a dig. He can only catch a deep ball. And they have nobody else. So unless South Carolina returns 4 punts, they're losing this game and they're losing it big. Give me Mizzou all day. And I don't like Eli Drinkwitz, but give me Mizzou all day. The Miami Florida game. I said I picked Miami. I'm sticking by that pick, but I'm not putting it in here. Give me the under. This is going to, I think Billy's going to be able to really, really ugly this game up. I think it's something like 28-10, 27-17, somewhere in that area. I think Miami wins, but I think Billy's able to really muck this game up and get a win. Last game. We talked about it. Another game of the week game. Give me Luke Altmyer. Give me the startable quarterback. Give me the Mississippi kid because I know that no matter what you throw at that kid, he's seen it. I don't think Cignetti can do anything to rattle him. And I believe Bielema will give him the confidence to get it done in Bloomington. Give me Illinois plus 6.5. Parlay of the week, we'll go ahead and give you one here. And we will go, I think it's a pretty good one. Arkansas minus 7.5, SMU TCU over, Nebraska plus 1.5, Mizzou minus 9.5. I think that's a absolute killer of a parlay. Do not ask me the value on that because I have absolutely no clue. It's probably plus 600 or something. Give it to me all day long. That will wrap it up for the week. We will be back hopefully Monday or Tuesday, and then hopefully next Friday we'll be back again for week 5. Wow. Almost halfway done. It's kind of sad. Well, that depressed me. But hey, don't let it depress you. It's going to be a great Saturday of college football. Watch it, enjoy it, because it doesn't last forever.